Good morning. This is Pat Githens, pastor of Genesis Baptist Fellowship, and I'm glad you could join us this morning for the broadcast. Our church, Genesis Baptist Fellowship, is happy to have these 15 minutes each Sunday morning on KSSL to share the Word of God with you. This morning I'll be reading from different passages of Scripture for the message, beginning in Matthew chapter 24. And the disciples and Jesus are sitting there on the Mount of Olives, and Jesus is teaching them some lessons about upcoming events. They had just told him to admire the buildings of the temple, and in verse 2, Jesus said that the day is coming when there's not going to be left one stone here upon the other, and that prompts them to ask a question. Well, tell us when these things shall be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age? Well, beginning at verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, if we would take time to read the rest of this chapter, and we're not going to take time, you would find that many times here in this chapter, Jesus is warning them about deception. And it's a very dangerous thing, and he said in the latter part of the chapter, he said that in the end days, the deception is going to become so strong that it would deceive the very elect if that were possible. Well, we go over to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, and there the scripture reads, Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines and devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And then over in the book of 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2, I want you to follow this one fairly close here now. Chapter 2, verse 1. Of 2 Thessalonians, Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So here's three different places in the scripture that we're talking about the dangers of deception. And in the last two messages I have preached on this station, I've preached about a falling away from the truth of God's word. Far too many preachers have toned down their preaching because they do not want to offend listeners in the congregation with the hard truth of God's word. Therefore, they're willing to compromise truth with fables and myths, which the Apostle Paul warned Timothy about in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He said the time would come when there would be people who would not listen to sound doctrine. Well, I believe we're living in such a time when multitudes of churches and pastors will not adhere to sound doctrine. In Charles Haddon Spurgeon's day, he called it the downgrading of Christianity. And such a downgrade placed churches on a slippery slope from which most never recover, leaving multitudes of churches in England void of biblical Christianity. Now, that's a condition which England has never recovered. The same is happening in the United States today. Going back to England, there's so many churches over there that have had their buildings closed, and Muslims have come in and taken them over. And so when they got on that slippery slope, they just kept sliding down, 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 because they would not adhere to sound biblical doctrine. And this, as I said, same things happening in many churches in America today. What causes such a falling away from scriptural truth? And in reality, it's a falling away from God himself. Well, departure from the belief that the Word of God is inerrant is a starting point. Inerrancy, of course, means God's Word is absolute truth without any mixture of error. And liberal false teachers and preachers creep into churches and began to question the truth of certain parts of God's word, saying it doesn't comply with the culture of the day, and it doesn't carry the same meaning today as it did when it was first written. And so we're living in a different kind of society, they say, than that which existed in Bible days. So once the doctrine of inerrancy is removed, then that which is not truth can be inserted under the disguise of enlightenment for a modern generation. I've heard it say over and over and over that old-time religion is just not working this day and age. Therefore, it must be discarded, and we must find something that's not quite as harsh on the congregation's ears. So we tone down the preaching. Well, and this is a beginning of falling away from the truth of God's holy word. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, that this departure from the faith is motivated by seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And Satan, to spread his lies and deception, transforms himself into an angel of light and his ministers into ministers of righteousness, according to 2 Corinthians 11:14. Now, these false ministers and teachers profess to have superior knowledge of the word, and they began to lure people away from the absolute truth of God's word and introduce false doctrine into the church body. The messages of the false teachers and preachers are easy on the ears, requiring little to no commitment to spiritual living. So therefore, such contaminated churches soon become no threat to the world, nor to worldly living. And the world is then brought into the church along with its worldly living. The message promotes the false notion that a person can belong to Christ and continue worldly living. And in one of John MacArthur's books a few years ago, and I don't recall which one at the present time, but he mentioned a seminary professor who told his students that repentance is a change of mind, but it doesn't mean a change of life. So that's simply saying one can change his or her mind about Christ and even make a profession of faith in Christ, but they do not have to change their lifestyle. The Bible says to be a friend with the world is to be an enemy with God. That's James 4:4. And Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that in the last days there will be those who will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They're going to have a form of godliness, but they'll be void of the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. They're pretenders to be a Christian. Well, what's behind the departure from biblical preaching and spiritual behavior? Well, Satan is the great deceiver. As we read in Matthew 24, Jesus warned about deception several times. And in the end times, as we read to you, the deceptions will be so strong that it will deceive the very elect of God if that were possible. And we see examples of that over in the book of Revelation with the Antichrist and the false prophet performing so-called miracles that deceive many, many people. And then we come to 2 Thessalonians. False teachers had crept into the church and was confusing the Thessalonian believers about the day of the Lord and the coming of Christ. The false teachers had convinced many in the church that the day of the Lord and the gathering of the saints to him had already occurred. Well, Paul came and wrote to them and said, that's not so. It's not going to happen until there is a falling away first and the man of sin is revealed. Well, the popular teaching on this subject has been flip-flopped today, which states the gathering of the saints will occur in a secret rapture before the revealing of the Antichrist and the day of the Lord occurs. And Jesus in Matthew 24:29-31 taught that immediately after the end of the tribulation period, he will send forth his angels to gather his saved saints to him. And that's going to take place on the day of his second coming. Well, one would think that the statement made by Jesus would be accepted as spiritual fact. But the popular teaching today is to reposition the gathering of the saints from the end of the tribulation period to the beginning. Therefore, multitudes of church members are being lulled to sleep, believing they need not worry about being confronted by any severe persecution, which will be handed out by an Antichrist system during the seven-year period of time called the tribulation. Well, I ask you this morning, is such teaching deceptive? It's not intentionally deceiving, I do not believe, but it does require a certain amount of manipulating scriptures to fit that doctrine. And I believe if we went over to Iraq or Syria and asked some of those Christians that are getting their heads cut off by ISIS, if they're not in some kind of severe tribulation and that they're having to really take a stand for Christ, that even requires their lives to do so. But yet today, church Christians are being taught that you won't be going through any such period as that, and that the horrors of the tribulation period are not for years, so don't worry about it. You're going to be swept out of the world before it ever begins. And so the church is asleep concerning these things coming. And Jesus said there's coming some bad stuff. And Jesus also taught in Matthew 24:42, we need to be watchful concerning his coming. Be ready for his coming whenever it happens. Live by the word of God, separating ourselves from the corrupt culture in which we live. Verse 44 states in that chapter, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Well, how can one be ready for his coming? By accepting Christ as Savior and receiving the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ. One must be saved by the grace of God through faith and not by works. Now, those depending upon their works to get to heaven are going to miss heaven by all eternity if they continue doing so. Now, for my Church of Christ friends, before you get too worked up over this, we're saved by grace through faith. But once saved, that faith is to produce works in our lives for the Lord who saved us. In other words, we're not saved by works, but we work because we're saved. A faith that will not produce works is a dead faith that cannot result in salvation for anyone. Well, I see my time's running out for the broadcast, so let me again say we're so glad you could join us. And let me extend an invitation to those who may be looking for a Bible preaching church to attend to visit with us at Genesis Baptist Fellowship, 4212 East 2nd Street in Lubbock. And as we've told you a couple of times before, we're actually two blocks out of the city limits east of the Loop. If you go to East 4th and then go down to Peach Street, which is just past the city limits sign, turn left, go to the end of the block, turn right, and it'll take you to the church. And you can also hear these messages on our website, www.genesisbaptistfellowship.org. So this is Pat Githens saying to you and yours, have a great day.